Don't just be hearers of the word, be doers of the word. That's what James told us last week in the second reading to kick off this preaching series. You know, the letter of James was a little bit controversial. As Martin Luther was having his theological difficulties with the church, he'd at one point suggested that perhaps the epistle of James be withdrawn from the canon of the New Testament, take it out of the Bible, because it didn't align too well with his theology, where he would say that instead of faith without works is dead, that we'd be justified by faith alone. Yet James is very much in your face, and he's speaking to those early Christians. He's saying, faith without works is dead. You can't just proclaim that Jesus is Lord. You can't just hear the word of God and assent to it. It somehow has to have an impact in eliciting not just a change of heart, but also a change in our lifestyle. And sometimes that can be a little scary, a little difficult, because if our faith is more of a mental exercise, it can somehow maintain itself on an interior level. And that indeed is part of it. But in terms of professing Jesus with our lips, it's also going to necessitate us taking it forward with action. And I'd put to you today, dear friends, that now more than ever is this necessary. And even that today, now more than ever, is a great time for us to profess our faith as Catholics and as Christians. The great doctor of the church, St. Augustine, once wrote that hope has two daughters. Their names are anger and courage. Anger at the way that things are. Angry, perhaps, that things don't line up the way that they should be, that they ought to be. Not just the way that we would prefer them to be. But courage in knowing that we have the ability to elicit, to bring about change, to make them better. Unless we just kind of turn this into like just going to the obvious with scandals in the church. Hope is not just about corporate change. It's about change in our own lives and our own perspective. Hope tells us that change is possible. Sometimes change in attitude when we find ourselves running in or being stonewalled, trying to get from point A to B in our lives, perhaps growing in our faith, perhaps growing in our work, perhaps being better, advancing in life. We can get frustrated and we can say, do I have any hope of anything better? We have a few examples of that today, don't we? Particularly in the gospel. That unnamed man could have easily gone and said, I have no hope. I can't hear. I can't see. Imagine what life was for him. Talk about being isolated inside of oneself. To have two major senses deprived, wondering what the world on the outside was like, and to have that encounter with Jesus. Those three readings today almost seamlessly put it all together. Isaiah, he's speaking to people who were downtrodden. He's saying, be strong, fear not. In other words, there's more to life than what you have just in the present moment. James reminds us, unless we get on our high horses, that all of us are equally loved by God, the rich and the poor alike. And what does Jesus tell that man who's turned in on himself in his blindness, in his deafness? Ephphatha, be opened. And I really believe that's the message that God has for His church. When He's telling us to be doers of the word, it means we need to be opened. Our eyes need to be opened. Our ears need to be opened. Our hearts need to be opened. Our very lives, dear friends, need to be opened. We need to be open to the Lord who can transform, who can heal, who can change. That's our life. That's our hope. That we are not defined just by present circumstances. Whether there's something external to us, or maybe there are things with which we struggle with internally, or things that are very personal. You know, you think about it, openness is not just about being welcoming. Although one thing I hear time and time again here at St. John's, from people who experience our community, maybe just moving into the area, or just coming to visit, they'll say, what a welcoming parish, what an open parish. Father, the first time I came in your church, someone spoke to me, asked me if I could help, they could help me with something. And I hear these things over and over again, talk about something to be proud of. But you know, I think the challenge here is to go even a step further than that, to not just be open in the sense of our doors are open and anybody who wants to come in, but can we as individuals, as Christians, as well as a community, take on a posture of openness to others? Last week, Father Michael spoke very beautifully about finding those occasions where you can encounter someone, meet someone right where they are. There's people that God puts in your pathway in sometimes rather mundane ways. Can our openness be one that musters up the courage to say, you know, I can reach that person and not just encounter them, but to accompany them on their journey? Because so often we can take a posture as church and say, we're here if you need us. Come anytime. And sometimes indeed that does happen. But Jesus also told the disciples, go out. Go out and find the lost sheep. Go out and encounter and accompany those who seem to be wandering, those who have strayed, those who are disenfranchised, those who are disheartened. Jesus went out. He found this guy. He knew he was blind. He knew he was deaf. He knew he was mute. The man had never uttered a word. But when Jesus groaned, imagine what that scene must have looked like. He groaned. He looked up to heaven. He says, Ephphatha, be opened. The people around him must have been looking and say, what the heck is going on? They were off in a distance. He's spitting and putting it on his tongue. They must have been saying, gross. And Jesus groans. You can imagine what that must have sounded like. But what does the scripture tell us that the first thing that that man did? His eyes were open. His ears were open. His lips were open. He gave praise to God. Now make no mistake, it's not always that instantaneous. But when we get to the point that we can be open to knowing that there's something good, there's something better in our own lives and in the lives of that person that God puts in our path, that is hope. Maybe being angry or unsettled a little bit that things aren't always right where they ought to be, but also having the courage to know that we can be agents to bring them where they should be, that we can see Christ in that person, accompany them, and help them to be open to Christ in their lives. You see, when we close up, that's a rather defensive posture, isn't it? And what puts us in that posture? Usually it's hurt. When we've been burned, we want to protect ourselves, bandage ourselves, cover our woundedness. But where does liberation come? Liberation comes when we step out in faith. It's not always an easy thing, is it? Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt. And it wasn't long until they were moaning and complaining. We want to go back to Egypt. At least we had enough food there. Oh yeah, we worked without pay. They were meager rations, but we just had food. They couldn't see what was ahead. They didn't have hope. They were only angry at what they had, but they didn't have courage. You need anger and courage, unsettledness and courage to move forward, to know that there's more. To be unsettled in our relationship with Jesus, because we know there can be more, but courage to know that we can attain it. That's our life. That's what's sweet. That's our hope. So what's the challenge here? The challenge is to adopt a posture of openness. First, before God. And that was talked about last week. Being open to God each day. But to also be open to that person, that situation, but that person that God puts in your life, to engage them. My challenge to you this week, dear friends, is to find one person within the next 7 days before you walk into church next weekend. Be steeped in prayer first. But watch for that person that God puts in your life and engage them. Now please, don't bash them over the head with a Bible. Don't flog them with your rosary beads. And don't go on about the apparitions of Our Lady of whomever. Just engage them. You know, we have Alpha starting a little later this month. Over in the hall afterwards, we're having some fellowship. We're honoring all those who volunteer in the parish this weekend. But really, this is a time for all of us to celebrate. Because for each person that steps up, for each person that makes a difference, it makes our community stronger. And we want to honor that. We want to celebrate that. Because God is still working. God is still active. God is still alive, as are His people. But I challenge you, we have Alpha cards, Alpha invitations. You don't have to take a stack of them. You're welcome to. Just take two. Just two. One for yourself and one for someone you meet this week. It's really not that hard. You want to be open to someone, say, we have this great thing going on at our church called Alpha. I'd love for you to go with me. I'd love for you to go with me. Free meal. You don't have to cook. You don't have to do dishes. A movie, a discussion, and no pressure. It's that simple. You know, look for the ways to engage. My dear friends, we have a lot to hope in. Because where is our hope? First, foremost, and only in Jesus Christ. That's our hope. And our hope tells us that, yeah, we're always going to be a little unsettled because things aren't the way they ought to be. But we've got the courage that we can attain with God's help the way that they need to be. Amen.